good songs today. Again, I want to ask for your prayers. It's my desire today is the same as it has been throughout this past week, the times that I have stood here and in days gone by, that it's just my desire tonight to share with you what God has put upon my heart, and I ask for your prayers. I want to read some scripture beginning with the first verse of the 20th chapter of Numbers. If you care to read along with me, Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And it says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought us, and why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them." And that's my scripture reading, having read from Numbers chapter 20, the first 13 verses. I want to speak today about how serious that God is concerning his word. And I want to use rather a lengthy title, and that being God Says What He Means and Means What He Says. And you know, what I hold before you today and what I have read from is the Holy Bible. It is a library. It is the Holy Bible, means sacred library, and it contains the written Word of God. You know, this is not like an instruction manual that you get when you buy a product and it says there's some assembly required, and you buy that and you unpackage it, you take it out of the box, and there's an assembly manual there, step-by-step instructions on how to put things together. And you know, sometimes If you're like me, sometimes you may deviate a little bit from the manual, and you may even end up at the end with a few extra parts that were supposed to be placed somewhere that weren't, and you say, no big deal, as long as it stays together, and just toss them. God's Word is not like that. God's Word is to be strictly adhered to. And, you know, God expects us to do that. And so God, when He instructed Aaron and Moses here to speak to this rock, that water would come forth from the rock and would provide that which the children of Israel needed for their thirst. When He told them to speak to the rock, that's exactly what He meant for them to do. Exactly what He intended for them to do. And you know, we can see in this, and I've always found this very interesting, that God had mercy upon these people. He had mercy upon Israel, even though that Moses and Aaron did not do that which God had told them to do. He had mercy upon them and still gave them the water that they needed. The Bible tells us here that when Moses lifted up his hand and smote the rock, that water came out. But God was very displeased with Moses and Aaron, and they suffered because of their disobedience. And you know, we find that throughout all of the Scripture, and I believe Brother Buddy, perhaps in one of his sermons this week, made reference to this, and I heard Brother Durant this morning in his Sunday school class make reference to this. You know, a lot of people would take this and they say, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, you know what the Old Testament is? The Word of God. You know what the New Testament is? The Word of God. It's all God's Word, and it all applies, and it's all relative, and so it's all very important. And so there is a great lesson for us to learn from this today, and that is that God is very serious about what He says to His creation. You know, there again, and I'm sure that you've heard this said many times, but if you look in the 20th chapter of Exodus, you won't find a list of 10 suggestions. You'll find a list of 10 commandments. God gives commandments. And there again, He expected Moses to obey Him and to do what He had told him to do. Now, if you look in the 17th chapter of Exodus, in fact, let's do look there for a moment. If you look in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, there is a record there given to us of a time that God did tell Moses that He was to smite the rock. In Exodus chapter 17, beginning with verse 5, it said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." And so there, again, He told him that he was to take the rod there. And you know, Moses had done many things with this rod even before this time. He had taken that into Egypt with him. He had thrown it down there before the Pharaoh, and it had turned into a snake. And he had used that when he God had him stretch that forth when the Red Sea was divided, and he had used this many times, and the Lord told him to take it and to strike that rock, to smite that rock with it, and that it would bring forth water. But that's not what God told him to do here. God wanted him to do something different. He wanted him to speak to the rock. Now, you know, perhaps it's true, and perhaps this is accurate, and I'm going to say it that way because we're not really told this, and it's not really explained to us this way in the Scriptures necessarily, but perhaps it is accurate that there in the 17th chapter of Exodus, when Moses was instructed to smite the rock with the rod, perhaps it did signify that Christ was to be smitten, that Christ was to be afflicted, that he was to be smitten once, but that he was not to be smitten again. And perhaps when he smote this rock twice rather than speaking to the rock like God had told him, perhaps it did have reference to that. I don't really know. I know that there are people that believe that, and perhaps that's accurate. But as I said, the Bible doesn't really explain that to us. But here's what it does tell us. And we do know why that God punished Moses and Aaron the way that he did. And that was because they flat out disobeyed his word. They disobeyed him. And they were guilty of unbelief. In the 12th verse of Numbers chapter 20, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron." And here's their sin. He said, "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." And so, you know, we must exercise great caution, and I believe that we need to remember and we need to be reminded here today that we are dealing with God and with His Word, and we need to be mindful of that, and we need to remember this. And I believe this is true, and you know, I know a lot of people in the world today would not want to hear this, but I believe that God's Word gives us many examples of this very thing, that God is justified in even taking our life for what we might consider to be the smallest act of disobedience to His Word. He is justified in taking our very life for that. And we have an example of that in the 15th chapter of this same book, in the 15th chapter of Numbers, in verses 32 through 36. There is an example there of a time when the children of Israel, they found a man that was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Gathering sticks. You know, when you stop and think about it, the law that God gave to Adam, and I know that you've heard me say this before, but the law that God gave to Adam doesn't seem like that big of a thing, does it? God just simply told him that there was one tree that he was not to eat of. And if you think about somebody, you know, just taking a piece of fruit from a tree and eating from that, you may think, well, that doesn't sound, I mean, you know, you didn't kill anybody. That doesn't sound like that big of a thing, but you know what? He disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. And that's what Moses and Aaron did there when they smote the rock instead of speak to it. They disobeyed God. And we may think of this account that's given to us in the 15th chapter of Numbers, this man was picking up sticks. He was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, but he was transgressing the law of God. And listen to what it says. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded him. God's serious, isn't he? I mean, he is serious about his word. And God is justified. You know, God is just. I've heard people say, well, you know, God, that's not fair. You know, God shouldn't have done something like that. Listen, God is just. He always is. God is just. And I'll tell you what, we better be, because of that, we better be very thankful that he's also merciful and that he's gracious, because his justice is not what we want. You know, we don't, when we realize that we're lost and in sin, we don't go to God and beg him for justice, do we? We don't go to God and ask him to deal with us justly. We beg him to deal with us mercifully. We beg him to have mercy upon us. We beg him to be gracious towards us. And thank God that he is a merciful God. You know, Moses and Aaron missed a great blessing. They missed a wonderful blessing because of what they did here. Okay, let's look just a little bit further before that I move on here. They didn't believe. You know, I don't know what you make of this, but what I think happened here is I don't think they really believed that if they were to just speak to that rock, that God would send water forth. I don't believe that they really trusted the Lord. And God was going to glorify himself before the children of Israel. He was going to show them a miracle. He was going to show them water coming from a rock by nothing more than Moses speaking to the rock. And Moses and Aaron, because of their disobedience, they did just exactly what the Lord here said that they did. They did not sanctify God in the eyes of the people there, but what they did was they sanctified themselves. They cheated God from the glory that he would get, and they sanctified themselves. And Moses and Aaron, the Bible tells us that they came before the congregation and they said, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock?" See, they were taking, they were placing this great power upon themselves. They were never going to bring the water in the first place. God was going to do that. It was going to be the Lord that was going to bring water from this rock, but yet they exalted their selves before those people. And you know, God said that he will not give his glory to anybody else, and he won't. And so God said, because you did not believe me, because you didn't believe me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, you are not going to bring this people into the promised land. So we know, And of course, there are many other examples. If you don't believe that God is serious about what he says to us, just ask Jonah about it. Ask him if God is serious. Go read the book of Jonah and find out that God is absolutely serious about that which he tells us, those things which he commands us and those things that he instructs us to do. I'll tell you what, God's word is not to be taken lightly. I'm afraid too often that it is taken lightly, both by saints and sinners. I'm afraid too often when God's word is preached, when the gospel is preached to people who are lost, I'm afraid too often that it's taken lightly, that it goes in one ear and out another. I'm afraid too often when the word of God is preached to the people of God concerning the things that God expects of us, that it's often taken too lightly, that we let it go in one ear and out the other, that we hear something and we might even admit and we might even say, yes, I believe that's true and I believe that's really what we should do, but we look at it as being more of a suggested thing rather than being doers of the word. Too often we're hearers only. Listen, I want to say this to you that are here today that don't know the Lord, that God has not merely suggested to you that you seek him. He's not just merely said, well, you know, that would be a good idea. The Bible tells me that he has commanded, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Listen, coming before a holy God and repenting of your sins before him and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is not merely a suggestion, it's a commandment from God. We are commanded to do that. And listen, God never takes it lightly when anybody breaks any of his commandments in any way. There's going to be a price that's going to be paid. I believe that just as God did with Moses and Aaron in their day, just as God did with Jonah in his day, just as he did with the man that was gathering the sticks on the Sabbath day, you know, I'm persuaded from the word of God that as his people, that when we disobey his word, now we know that we're not going to lose our salvation. We know that when we've been saved that we're not going to go to hell. But I'll tell you, I'm persuaded that when we disobey God's word, when we listen to what we are told, when God sends a message to his people and we just choose not to be doers of that and not to obey that, that we're going to suffer the consequences for it. We're going to suffer in one way or another, and that'll be up to the Lord. But we will pay for disobedience to his word. You know, if we don't, then that would make God a respecter of persons, wouldn't it? Because he has done it to people in the past. And so God has commanded all men everywhere to repent and to trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. And I want to read something to you about what will happen to those who don't. Lost friend, this is serious. This is serious. This is the most serious thing that'll ever be put before you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Listen. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to all those who fail to repent before God and trust in Jesus and seek him and find him and come to know the new birth? What's going to happen to all those that remain in their lost condition and enter eternity that way? They're going to hell. They're going to a place of eternal torment. You'll be punished forever. One of the sad, sad thoughts that comes to me when I think of souls in hell is just what is said here in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, that they're separated from the Lord forever. God's love, God's mercy, God's grace is no longer accessible. It's too late. Those that are in hell, those that have already lived in this world and died lost in their sins, that are suffering the torments of hell right now, they are separated from God forever. Forever. They'll never know his love. They'll never know his mercy. They'll never have another opportunity to come to God and to be forgiven of their sins and be saved. But you that are here today, you that are still living, thank God you do have that opportunity to come to him and to seek him and to be saved. But God is a God of wrath. He certainly is. He's a God of wrath. And those, you know, God gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came into this world and he suffered like no man had ever suffered. He died the horrible death of the cross. He took our sins upon himself and died for us. And I'll tell you what, everybody that fails to repent and get right with God, God's not going to take it lightly for the rejection of his Son. He will punish with everlasting damnation and everlasting destruction, completely separated from the love and the mercy and the grace of God. You know, Brother Buddy and myself, we have been trying this week to bring before you the things that God has placed upon our heart. You know, there are things that you can hear from day to day in your life. There are things that you can hear and you can dismiss it and just say, nah, that's not for me. And it may never have any effect upon your life whatsoever. There are things that you can do that with, but you cannot do that with God's word. When God sends his word forth, and those that hear the word of God, they hear the truth. When God sends his word forth, he expects that it will be he expects that those that hear it will take heed. Will take heed. And, you know, there's no neutral ground in this. You can't take the pilot route and just try to wash your hands of it. There's no neutral ground. You're saved or you're lost. You know the Lord or you don't. You're either headed for heaven or hell. There's no in between. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Because if you reject him, if you push him away, and you die lost in your sins, you'll suffer the eternal awful consequences for that. You sure will. But if you will come to him and meet his conditions, he will save you. He'll give you everlasting life. Some have found that out here this week, thank God, that he will give you everlasting life. And I encourage you, as the old scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures tell us, I have set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Now choose. But listen, do the wise thing and choose life. Choose life. Choose the Lord. Choose to seek God for the salvation of your soul. Let's have a song. Appreciate your attention. Here today and lost, we invite you to an altar of prayer. Come and seek the Lord.
Number 69 in the Heavenly Highway Hymn. Number 69.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without. I would be. Without him I could be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh Jesus, without him how lost I would be.